Welcome to the Stewards of Stoke podcast, an adventure podcast that gets you stoked for the outdoors through stories, interviews with athletes, and industry professionals. Sit back, grab a hazy, and join Matt and Braven for this episode of Stewards of Stoke.
Welcome to another episode of the Stewards of Stoke podcast. I am your host, Matt.
And Braven Levine over here.
We are still in Sedona. We are sitting down today with the owner and service manager of Bike and Bean here in Sedona. It's like this pretty badass bike shop slash coffee shop, and they have really good mochas if you need a place to go.
Really good mochas and some really nice bikes over here if you want to come in and buy one.
Oh, yeah. So this is, we've done day two of Sedona Mountain Bike Fest. We recorded our episode with Joanna. That was really good. So hopefully you check that one out. And then, yeah.
Definitely have some skills to take back and work on. The lingo she was throwing around, I definitely need to refine some skills.
Yeah. And she definitely helped us out getting in touch with these guys and everything like that. So shout out to her. So without further ado, we have Tim, who is the owner, and Randy, who is the service manager of Bike and Bean. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. So kind of tell us about, like, Tim, I have you go first. Just tell us about, like, how you got to Sedona, if you're a native, and all that.
Yeah, so I got an early start on the working remote deal. Started in about 2009. My wife and I moved out here in 2010 because we realized we didn't have to stay in the Philly area anymore. So moved out here, really liked it. My sister lives in Tucson, so we wanted to be like close but not too close, you know. So we ended up out here. We really loved it, and so we decided to stay out here.
Cool.
Yeah, I moved out here after my ex-wife was in grad school in Boston. So I've been in the service industry, in the cycling industry for a while now, and I was in New York and then in Boston when we finished up in Boston.
What part of New York?
We were in Manhattan, okay. Upper West Side, and then in Brooklyn.
I'm from upstate, so that's why I was most curious.
Yeah, and being in the cycling industry, this is definitely an amazing place to be. So we visited one day, and I was kind of like, well, after we leave Boston, this seems like a great place to land.
Oh, yeah.
I feel a little out of place, all these East Coasters over here. I'm originally from Indiana. I mean, yeah. So
you're halfway there.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing but corn over there, you know, unless you get down to Brown County in southern Indiana. You got some phenomenal mountain biking trails down there. You go a little bit further down to Kentucky. Still some great hills that you can ride. And Red River Gorge, go climbing over there. It's a great spot.
So. Yeah, I mean, you're not too far off.
No, not too far off. No,
I'm originally from Michigan, so.
Yeah, okay, what part of Michigan?
The UP.
UP. My grandpa's got a cabin up in Newberry, so we spent a lot of time in the UP.
Okay, nice. I'm from this very small town called Lawrence. Nobody's ever heard of it.
Nope, I have not.
It's like 700 people. I'm almost Canadian is what I tell people.
Okay. Yeah, we did some backpacking up on Isle Royale with my father-in-law and my brother. And so, yeah, leaving out of Copper Harbor there, it was definitely a good trip up there. We did a little yo-yo trip. We started at Rock Harbor, went down to Windigo, and then yo-yoed back to Rock Harbor. So we were kind of the crazy dudes on the island at that time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I grew up in Iowa, so
Iowa.
I know how you feel.
Iowa to Philly to Sedona.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy how where life takes you, that's for sure. So let's dive into you guys, I guess, acquired Bike and Bean about in 2022. Kind of walk us through how all that happened.
You know, it was kind of strange the way it happened. I was just happened to be on Facebook, and I saw that Bike and Bean was closing. They'd had a hard time through COVID and everything. So they just put out a post one night and said, thanks for everything. You know, we're closing up. And I reached out just on Facebook. I'm like, hey, what's the plan? And they're like, we don't really have a plan. And so we started going back and forth with the owners at the time. And then we're like starting to like do negotiations and stuff. I'm like, hold on, I probably should ask my wife. So, I went to bed, it was late, and I climbed in bed. I'm like, how would you feel about owning a bike shop? And she's like, that sounds cool. I'm like, really? Like, oh my God, you know? So the joke is that I wanted a new bike and she wouldn't let me have it. So we got a bike shop instead. And yeah, so then like the next day we started talking again, and a week later, yeah, we got the keys and we're super excited.
Yeah.
And then the next year and a half, we're telling people, yes, we're still open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's your business background then? Did you previously own businesses, or did you just kind of, you know, like, oh, I love biking and there's a bike shop and I'm going to start doing this now?
Yeah. So we do own a couple other businesses. You know, I started out, I was actually in IT. That's how I could work remotely. And I was working when we got the bike shop. So I, you know, set up my computer up here and people walk in, you know, I'm trying to work and people are like talking to me. I'm like, yeah, you know. So it was, but it was really cool. Everybody's been really supportive. But yeah, so I have some, but I don't have any retail background except for on the business side, you know. So that's different. Learning the whole, the business of bicycles and how that works was a bit of a, you know, it was a learning curve, but there's also different from pre-COVID times. So, you know, I had to learn, but we were also at the same time, everybody's reinventing their shops and the way they do things. So I think it was actually a little bit easier because of that. And we were starting fresh. I mean, Randy reached out like probably a couple weeks after we got the shop. And he's like, I'm just sitting around right now. You know, if you want me to come down and help out, that'd be great. And I was like, yeah, please do. So
Randy, you want to kind of talk about too how you came to Bike and Bean and kind of your background and about everything?
Yeah, so I've been in the cycling industry, like I said, for a while, mainly the service side of it. I got out in 2016 and actually started doing a whole separate thing and started a business and was running that. And right when I was getting ready to sell that, Tim texted me and he said he was looking at buying the Bike and Bean. Me being the cynic I am, I immediately said that's a horrible idea, but then he said that he did it, and it was right after my business had sold. So yeah, cool. I was pretty much sitting around and I was like, well,
perfect timing.
Exactly. It was kind of everything aligned. So I came down, and I mean, his shop was empty when he picked it up, so it was kind of cool to start and bring it up from pretty much nothing.
Oh yeah. But has it always been Bike and Bean coffee shop / bike shop?
Yeah, I mean, it started in 95 or 94, depending on who you ask. And I think 94 was kind of like somebody's garage, and then it became like an official place in 95. Okay. And yeah, it was Bike and Bean the whole time. I mean, at the time, there were no other coffee shops in the area.
Gotcha. So,
you know, it was easy to kind of do both at the same time. And then, of course, the area was also much smaller. You know, it wasn't as popular. So, and then, the original owner grew it. You know, it built it up, then he sold it to one of his employees, and he did a great job building it up even more. Then, you know, the third owners bought it. They were doing great. COVID hit, and, you know, you had the issues with supply chain issue. First, everybody sold out their bikes because they were like, yeah, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then they found out they couldn't get more bikes.
Yeah.
Supply chain issues, employees, you know, moving on. There's the whole issue with that. And so I think that, you know, they just had a hard time managing it from there.
Yeah, and I feel like too, like you said, with the manufacturing issue, is especially with COVID, like most bikes are made in Taiwan or China or something like that, and that was definitely one of the biggest impacted importations for sure.
Yeah.
And then everybody decided that they wanted to be outdoors too. Yeah. All of a sudden. So
yeah, Sedona was closed for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was like the streets were empty. Yeah. You know, my background was more road before I moved out here, and we could ride any road here. And there was just, you know, there's some roads you don't want to be on because people are going crazy. And we could ride anywhere for like 2 weeks, and all of a sudden there's everybody came here. Like, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah. Randy, kind of bring us back. Like, so you worked for the shop across the streets or across the street, Absolute.
Yeah. So when I first moved out here, I was moving out looking for shops. Mm-hmm. They actually have a shop at Flagstaff, which is where I live.
Okay.
It was their off season, which is the busy season down here.
Gotcha.
So I applied there and then ended up working down here. Worked down here for a while, ended up moving up there and working up there for a bit. And then when the service manager position opened up down here,
mm-hmm.
I came back down to take that over and ran their service area for a few years. And then that's kind of when I kind of transitioned out of the service industry.
Gotcha. What was, if you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, what was your like company that you had built and
Oh, I used to do appliance repair, home appliance repair. Yeah. It's kind of easy to transition to coming from a service background. I was kind of burnt out on the bike industry at the time, so I was looking for something else to do, and I fell into that job, and it ended up being a fairly easy job to get out and do on your own.
Right.
So I started a business and ran it for a couple of years, and then I ended up selling that. And that's, I was basically kind of burnt out on that.
Yeah, and then bike and bean.
Back to the bike industry.
Yeah, back to the bike industry.
You pulled them back.
Well, and how do you guys know each other previously? Were you guys like biking buddies? You ride together, and then you buy the shop, you pull in Randy?
Pretty much. I mean, I knew him from across the street when he was with Absolute. Our good friend kind of introduced us. We rode moto together and stuff, and we ended up, you know, doing some riding moto, camping, that sort of thing. And we just kind of hit off that way.
That's cool.
That's it.
Yeah, outdoor sports will bring people together. That's one of the things I love about it. You know, I've met, you know, new friends, and, you know, now they become kind of lifelong friends because of biking. So it really brings people together. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the only coffee shop / bike shop I've been to, but what do you feel kind of sets you guys apart from the other bike shops here in the area?
So I think a lot of it is we have more of a small shop feel, you know, your local bike shop kind of thing. People feel comfortable coming in and talk to us. You know, we don't have like a corporate feel so much. And I think that helps a lot. And we really, you know, obviously that's what we want, because we like to know our customers. We like to know people. We chat with them. You know, we find out where they're from. Even people coming in renting bikes and stuff, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's fun to meet new people, you know. Tell them about the trails, you know, they ask us questions about the area, and you know, it's fun also because we're from so many places that even when somebody comes in, we can start talking, you know, talk about somebody comes in from UP, Michigan, like, oh, Randy's from there. Randy starts talking, and it's like they're old friends, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I was going to say, I kind of got that on Thursday. We had driven, 11 hours?
Too far.
11 hours to get down here from Colorado Springs, and then you were actually at the checking us out when we were struggling to stay awake and needed some coffee.
So. We walked in a little starstruck. We're like, there he is.
Yeah, right.
I was like, is that Tim? Do you think Randy's here?
Is he judging me for the glitter on my face right now?
So definitely. Yeah,
definitely. That's awesome. And then what kind of services and do you have any like special rentals or e-bikes and all the things? It's like, I see some of those commuter bikes right there.
Yeah.
So we got a really wide array. We do the e-bikes for the road. We got some Aventon, just kind of cruisers, which is great for, you know, people that are trying to get from here to Sedona during the busy season. It could take you an hour to get up there, jump it on an e-bike and cruise up there in about 10 minutes. So we get a lot of those. We do basic hardtails as well, which is something that a lot of the shops don't do. We do them by the hourly rate. So closest thing to us is the Bell Rock Pathway. It's the easiest thing in the area. It's great to get your family out on. We offer a 2-hour rental for hardtails to just get out and do that, because not everybody's looking to get out for an entire day.
Yeah.
Our full suspension stuff, we got a really wide array of it, 6 different tiers, 3 different aluminum, 3 different carbon. And then on top of that, we just brought in e-bikes for the spring.
Nice.
Previously, we were trying to avoid bringing them in, but, you know, it's one of those things where they're catching so much more traction. Yeah. They're becoming so much more accepted everywhere that, you know, we thought we'd bring some in. So we brought in a nice selection from Mondraker and Giant. And then we do have some stuff from Orbea and Uno, I believe, is also.
We seem to have the whole Spanish contingent here.
Spanish contingent, I like it.
Now, are there any special rules regarding e-bikes in Sedona? Because I was hearing some people talking that you can't ride e-bikes on the trail, or...
It's National Forest Service land, so they are illegal on all of our single-track trails.
Okay.
There are a few motorized vehicle trails that you can ride. As a local, I can tell you that I see them out there all the time, and talking to some of the Forest Service guys, you know, they understand that it's hard for them to enforce it. There's so much space out here, they don't have the manpower to enforce it. Every single trailhead will have a sign saying that they're illegal on it. If you're out there riding, you're probably going to see one or two of them.
Yeah, I feel like, too, like, the amount of obviously out of town tourist traction that you guys get for him, I'm sure like people are like, well, does this count as like motorized? Like they don't really see it because you still have to pedal.
Right.
Exactly. And it's just the classification through the government right now is that right. E-bikes as a whole are motorized vehicles, which, you know, if you look at a class one, it's not, it just needs to be reclassified to pedal assist or something along those lines before they'll.
Typical government trying to come up with some definition of something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that rule doesn't apply if it's like ADA or something for like a special needs or mobility or something like that.
I don't think they've made any sort of differentiation for that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and the thing is, you know, like Randy said, we've spoken to a lot of the rangers and stuff, and they've basically told us that it's not the kind of thing they're going to enforce. They assume it's going to change in the next. Well, they presume it's going to change in the next couple of years, but you know, nobody knows, especially right now. So they've just said they're, you know, they're more concerned about, you know, drunk tourists and side by sides and stuff like that, as opposed to people riding around on e-bikes. And that could change if you start seeing, you know, some of the more powerful, you know, bikes or, you know, electric motorcycles that are parading mm-hmm. around as bikes. If you start seeing trails, you know, them out on the trails and stuff, it might change. But
yeah.
You know, if people are being respectful and still, you know, being good, it won't be an issue.
Yeah, for sure. What do you feel like too, like since COVID and everything, like the Sedona mountain bike scene in general, like how has it evolved and all that? Like you've worked at shops prior to this and all that. How do you feel like it's kind of expanded in the last few years?
I mean, they're opening up a lot of new trails. They've brought in a lot of the social network trails, even in the last probably 7 years or so, we've adopted 4 or 5 social network trails that are now active network trails. So we're definitely seeing an expansion to the trail network, which is nice.
What's a social network trail versus like, I guess, a normal trail?
So everything out here used to be social network trails. So they weren't actually adopted by the Forest Service. Okay. They were not signed. They're trails that the locals had built, essentially.
Gotcha. Okay.
So slowly, since we started bringing those into the actual network, we started seeing signage for them,
yeah.
More maintenance for them. There are other trails out there, which if you guys ride here a bit, and even if you're in local, you'll probably come across some of them. They're not actually part of the network, but they've been there for years.
Yeah.
So the idea that we bring those in, we sign them, we maintain them,
mm-hmm.
and open up the network a little bit further and add more mileage. So that's happening every year. We're bringing in more and more. I think we got 30 miles planned for just south of us here that's supposed to start in the spring.
Okay.
It brings a lot of people in. I tell everyone, you know, when it comes to mountain biking, Sedona's a mecca, for lack of a better word, because, you know, you've got a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we get people from all over the world who show up just to do this.
Yeah, I think just on our group ride yesterday, people were saying they're from, what was the farthest away? It was like South America or something?
Like maybe Peru?
Yeah, it was something like that. We were riding with people from Peru.
California, Peru.
Canada,
yeah. Lots of people came in here. And you know, you said it brings a lot of people here. It's kind of that mecca. And it took a little convincing from him to get down here, but he was like, dude, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We're going to get to ride some really great trails. And finally, I succumbed to the persuasion, and here we are, speaking with you fine people.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And then, too, like you pointed out yesterday, like the signage on just the amount of trails here is like insane. Like,
yeah, it's like Colorado Springs needs to take a little bit of an idea from you guys and do that, because it's so easy to find where you're going. You can route trails together. You get like trail forks or something like that, and you can really see everything. And even when you're out there, you see the signage and you can start linking it up, because that was one of the things I was talking with him about is, you know, in the Springs, it's really hard to know where you can start this trail, and you want to link all these cool different aspects together, and there's just not an app or anything for that, and the signage just isn't good enough in the Springs. And so you guys do a phenomenal job down mm-hmm. here. You know, the Forest Service, whoever's doing all that, they're crushing it with that. So we have not gotten lost. We did get a little off trail or did some extra Strava miles, but
that wasn't your fault though.
No, I was following Will. So Will, Mr. Local
Will,
here.
Will and Colorado Kid. Definitely got you those extra Strava miles.
Yes, he did. So thank you for that.
I was just sucking wind, so I saw everybody go different ways and pick the shorter route.
Yeah, this shout out to the Verde Valley Cycling Coalition for helping out with that. It's a local coalition in the area. Works with the Forest Service, raises funds, helps design trails, helps with building. One of the things that we find with the social trails with the Forest Service is sometimes they cut through a sensitive area. Mm-hmm. So when they adopt them, they'll reroute them, and that so it helps everybody, because a lot of social trails are pretty well established and people were just going to keep riding them anyway. So The idea was if they adopt them, they can control them in a good way.
Yeah. I feel like too, one thing I've noticed when riding here versus in Colorado Springs, I mean, we have a few groups that really maintain and build trails, but just the magnitude of riding here, I feel like, is just a whole different level. And the maintenance of different lines for different features and stuff is really what sets Sedona, I feel like, apart from a lot of other places.
Yeah, we have a lot of local lines in certain areas and stuff too, which is really fun if you know where they are. And if you don't know where they are, it's great. You're staying right on the trail and it's a good time. So
yeah, cool. Why don't you tell us about Nubs?
Oh, my dog.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard it in the background at all, but little Nubs here has been running around the shop and is a pretty cute little dog there, getting up on the couch.
Cute little nubby tail.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's my trail dog. She's my camping dog. She goes everywhere with me. Usually when I go to work, she goes, and when I got to work, she stays at home. Yesterday, unfortunately, I got stuck due to the weather, so I couldn't get home. So she spent all night at home by herself. So when I left today, I was like, I'm going to bring her with me.
Yeah. Is she one of the dogs that you see in the videos and stuff, just running with you while you're on the trail?
She'll definitely run with me if I want her to. she's a Malinois mix. She's got tons of energy. She'll just sprint. Yeah. So I'll take her out and run, and I'll take her on the trails. She's very friendly, so I can't take her on any of the trails here because she'll want to say hi to everyone.
She'll just stop. Yeah. You'd be stopping every 5 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll definitely we'll post up a picture of Nubs if you're nice. You're good with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with
that. Cool. Where do you see Bike and Bean going or growing to here in the next couple of years?
Yeah, because you kind of mentioned how the progression of each owner, they kind of built upon it and did something a little bit different, made it a little bit better. What's your plan to make it just a little bit better?
That's a good question. we're part of it's building it back up a bit. After COVID, when they had very few bikes, very few, very little inventory and all that stuff, it was, it started, the reputation was going down a little bit too, because people couldn't get what they needed. So obviously the first part has been building that up. And I think we've, really done a lot there. Randy's been a huge help. Everybody else who's been working here does a great job. So that's been a big deal. Growing in the area, we want to start doing they used to do a lot of group rides and stuff. We want to start doing that again. Logistically that can be difficult sometimes to find people to do it, but we want to get more involved with that sort of thing, more involved with the community. There's the high school mountain bike team. So there's basically three shops in this area and then one other one in Cottonwood. And so we all work together to because, the rising tide raises all ships. So we all work together to help with the trails, to help each other out when we need it, when we have, things we need help with. So just continuing on with that, growing the community, I think, is really big. I'd like to, the road community, it'd be nice to grow that a little bit more too. We do a lot of road stuff. We work with triathletes. I was doing triathlons when I moved out here first. I know Randy thinks it's crazy, but
where's the swimming portion at?
There's a few really good pools here. There are not a lot of them, but there's some really good pools. So that helps a lot. But Flagstaff also has some great Olympic, style pools. So, that's the most difficult part here, I think.
Yeah.
But so just growing like that, growing organically, looking at online presence, maybe. There's a lot of competition online. it's difficult to get in there, and then you have to, you know, you almost have to hire a whole new set of people to manage that.
I hear Joanna's pretty good at that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's been working. We've been working with her pretty much since we opened. She's been a really big help with us. But, you know, she does a lot of our Instagram, Facebook mm-hmm. stuff. So, you know, growing that and anything along those lines, you know. So we've been talking with her about that, too. But
I was going to say the coffee is...
Oh, the coffee's like, great. Mochas, we've had some Americanos. You're good there.
Just keep that going.
Appreciate that, really good. Yeah.
Well, cool. Along the lines, you said building it back. You know, you had to take a little bit of a step back. You're starting to build it back. And I see the kind of brands you have in here. Is that the same kind of brands that were previously in here? Did you have to like go out and build new relationships with those brands?
So yeah, some of them are new relationships since we took over. Some were here before, and like Kona, you know, we mm-hmm. big proponents of Kona. You know, they did have some issues, as all bike manufacturers have. So you know, they switched hands. The new owners are great. You really support them. Giant. We picked up Giant after we got it. They've been really great to work with. All the brands have been really good. You know, we started working with Mondraker. We had never even heard of them. You know, they kind of reached out and like check out our bikes. And like, oh, these are like super sexy. You know, we love the frames. We love the way they're built. So they're. I mean, you know, a lot of bikes. Not to be cynical, they start to kind of look very similar, you know. They got the heavy down tube and the curve and the, you know what I mean? And you start to be like, eh, it kind of looks the same, you know. And then Mondraker pops up and you're like, ooh, that looks pretty cool, you know. And so we've had a really good relationship with them. Orbea, we brought Orbea in because we didn't have a road bike manufacturer at all. I was like, well, let me check Orbea and see. And we started working with them. And they've been really great to work with, so... Yeah, we, I don't even know if did we leave anybody else. Scott, we picked up Scott recently. Yeah, so they're nice bikes. We've been really happy with them. So
Niner and Intense were both with us previous to you picking up the shop.
Not Intense.
Niner
and Kona, yeah. Niner. Okay. Yeah, and Niners, you know, they had some issues at the time too. So, you know, they switched, they got rid of all their aluminum. They brought in all carbon. So when we, you know, they were actually our first manufacturer we started working with. Cool. And so, of course, we were a whole bunch of carbon bikes from them, you know, and then Kona, we picked, you know, Kona, it's because, you know, when the shop changed hands, we had to, it's a new company, mm-hmm. technically. So yeah, right. We had to re-up with everybody. And yeah, but everybody's been great. They've been super supportive.
Cool. So. What would you, on a non-Sedona Mountain Bike Fest weekend, what would your like favorite local trails that you either hit on a regular basis or just your favorite in general?
I do a lot more riding down here than up in West Sedona just because location-wise it's easier to access. Slim Shady, just north of us, is one of my favorite trails in the entire area. You kind of link together a bunch of stuff. I like our Double Blacks. Highline's an amazing trail.
Yeah.
I tend to just go out and try and put more mileage in than to hit the real extreme stuff, but all of our Double Black stuff's really fun. The Hogs Network, if you get a chance to get up mm-hmm. there and ride it, some really fun technical stuff up there. But yeah, Slim Shady to Templeton, easy breezy, kind of make a big loop out of that stuff. That's kind of my go-to route.
Nice.
Yeah, those seem to be the names that are popping up around here. Joey, I was saying Slim Shady, that's a hot one. Highline, you mentioned there too. That's seems to be the buzzwords going around here.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Those are great ones. Llama on the other side is a mm-hmm. super fun trail. Depending on, you know, we try to work with everybody who comes in, find out what their skill level is. But like I'm the same. I love Slim, Templeton, cutting over, doing a hogwash up Broken Arrow, come down, hit Llama. I used to do that twice a week, actually, when I was doing a lot more training. It was super fun. Go with a friend and we hit that in like 2 hours. So it was good times.
Cool. Where can people book a rental before they get here? Kind of follow you guys, check you out.
Yeah. So we have, we have a website, it's, bike-bean.com. And you can look at our rental selection on there. You can set up rentals there. You can also call the shop and we walk you through. So a lot of times people aren't sure what bikes they want or anything. So we'll walk through, we'll make the reservation right there for you or just talk to you while you do it. So,
cool. And then social media, what are you guys on?
Yeah, so Facebook, we're Bike and Bean, and Instagram, we're at Bike Bean.
Cool.
So, yeah, I put a lot of stuff up there. So a lot of local stuff. It's pretty cool.
Sweet. Anything else?
I want to know, you know, you told us about the brands that you guys have in the shop. What are you guys riding personally? And, you know, I understand that's a little bit different than what you're selling, but...
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I'm actually riding a Scott Genius 920 from 2024, so from last year. It's a great bike out here, 160 in the front, 150 in the rear. The remote lockout is awesome for whenever we're doing the climbs. I can just put it into that trail mode, which basically just limits my suspension down to 100 mils of travel in the back and 150 in the front. Can climb anything out here and then open it up when I start my descents. So for here, it's a great bike.
Sounds like the Cadillac of bikes for this area.
It is. It's a good all around.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what and I'm on the Mondraker Rays RSL, which is their high end trail bike, 130 in the rear, 150 up front. It's a sweet bike. I really love it out here. Everybody who rides a Mondraker has been really happy with it, and I'm one of those people.
And we have those in the rental fleet, and the Rays R's.
Yes.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, make sure if you make it to Sedona to come check out Bike and Bean, rent a bike from them. Amazing crew here, and thank you guys for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thanks for having us. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Make sure you subscribe on whatever platform that you listen to. Share your thoughts. Leave a review. Make sure if you can or you feel the need to, share some stories. Send us some questions, comments via social media. Or shoot us an email, info@stewardsofstokemedia.com.
And thanks again to Randy and Tim for sitting down and having a conversation with us. And stay stoked.
Yeah.